Hey everybody, welcome to another edition of The Journey of Hope. Glad you could be with us today. The Journey of Hope is a podcast that's especially designed to address the issues that men and women face after incarceration. Jim Ling's on the show today, and we're going to get with Jim right after this. I'm Rodney Mathers, and you're on The Journey of Hope. Sure do like getting mail from you. You can always catch me at mathersrodney@yahoo.com. That's mathersrodney at yahoo.com. Send me an email. Hey everybody, and welcome back. My guest today is Jim Ling. Jim is the author of Leadership, Biblical First Aid for Leaders, and his latest, Calming the Storm Within. Jim is, in addition to an author, the president of 5 Feet 20, a business ministry that helps doctors and business owners to impact the spirituality of their patients, and he's also a speaker. Jim Ling, welcome to the Journey of Hope.
Thank you, Rodney. It's great to be with you.
Hey, where are you calling from, by the way?
The Toledo, Ohio area. Actually, a town called Lambertville, Michigan, which is 1 mile north of Toledo, just a suburb of the Toledo area.
Whenever I think of Michigan, I've known people from Michigan. Are you one of these people that holds your hand up and shows where the thumb is and all that?
I think everyone in Michigan does that.
I know, right? They do. Well, why don't you tell us a little bit about yourself so that we can get an idea of where you're coming from. Tell us a little bit about Jim Ling.
Well, I've been a guy who's lived really in the Northwest Ohio area most of my life, and was a guy, went to University of Toledo, played basketball there for 4 years. And
really?
Was a business major and really spent the majority of my life in the business world. And things were going along great. I was started as a computer programmer, then I got into sales, and I eventually found myself going to work for a family-owned business in the Toledo area that was just a phenomenal place to be. And it gave me this opportunity to make just a ton of money and have a lot of fun doing it as well. And the company was growing rapidly, and things were moving along great. I was the number one salesman in the country, and the life was good. And the family decided to sell the business to a publicly traded company. And about 3.5-4 years into my time there. And so things started to change quite a bit, and then we were sold twice more over the next couple of years. And We found ourselves no longer in Kansas anymore. Wow. But they left me alone because I was selling, and things were good. And our parent company decided to bring a new guy in to be our boss, to be the president of our company. And he came in from the outside, and he and I hit it off right away. And he said, "Hey, I want you to be my VP of sales." And I said, "Hey, thanks, but no thanks. I've got a pretty good gig going here, and don't want to mess that up." And over 3 months, 3 months of just his persistence, I finally decided to take that position. And I realized shortly thereafter that I was going to be in for a really rough road, and really discovered that he truly believed in the adage that the beatings will continue until morale improves. And I mean, it literally was the most awful work environment you'd ever want to see yourself in. And I would drive to the office for the last year of my time with the company with this gnawing pit in my stomach every day, just dreading walking through the doors of the company. And finally, in December of 2003, I was really wrestling with what I should do because I was making a ton of money, but I just hated life at that moment. And we also had 25 salespeople in our organization, and I felt it was my role really to protect them from the wrath of my boss. And so I wasn't sure what to do, and I'm sitting in church, and this is going to sound a little bizarre, but this is truth. My pastor is preaching about the birth of Jesus. It was Christmas time and kind of a logical topic to talk about. And he said something that just rocked my world. He said, "You know, God could have had Jesus born anywhere. He could have had him born in a palace and a gold crib with all sorts of wealth if he wanted to, but he chose to have him born in this lowly manger next to farm animals and the smells that go along with it." He said, "Here's the greatest leader that ever walked this planet coming from the humblest of beginnings." And I nudged my wife, Connie, who was sitting next to me, and said, "Well, that's the total opposite of my boss," because we didn't see him as having a whole lot of humility. And she laughed. And I turned my program over and started writing on it. And it was like my pen got taken over, and I could not stop writing. And all of a sudden, I got this overwhelming thought that there's a book here, and which I had no desire to write a book at all. And no inclination to do so. But I remember telling my wife, "I think God wants me to write a book." And she's like, "What?" And anyway, one thing led to another. I ended up writing this book in which I took my boss's leadership style and contrasted it with the great leaders of the Bible. And that's called Leadership Biblical First Aid for Leaders. And that really changed the whole trajectory of my life and put me on this crazy path I'm on now. So,
And your latest book is Calming the Storm Within. How did that come to be?
Well, my whole life, I have been a worrier. And in fact, I think I came out of the womb worrying. And I'd worry about things when I was a kid. I'd worry about shooting too much in a basketball game and making my teammates mad at me. I'd worry too much about, you know, calling a girl and asking her to go to prom. You know, all that stuff. It was crazy how much I worried. In fact, my mom regularly used to just tell me, "It's a not to worry, Jimmy." And she said that to me all the time. As a matter of fact, she still does use that with, she's using that with my kids now and everything. But that was her standard mantra. And so much of my life, I was really seeking peace. I was trying to figure out how to get out of this trap of worry and anxiety. And that's what ultimately led me to put my faith in Jesus. And I really felt prompted to start writing this book about 4 or 5 years ago, and I can see why now, because in writing it, I discovered so much for me, and I realized first and foremost I needed to write it for me, to help me to not be so dependent upon my circumstances to find peace. And what I discovered is that peace is truly available regardless of circumstances.
Well, let me stop you right there. So, you know, your premise is that, you know, you can find peace in your life despite what your life circumstances are, right?
That's right. That's right.
Okay. Let's zero in on this idea of worrying for just a second. I want to talk to you about that for just a second.
Yeah.
You know, there's, I kind of tend to be that way too, especially, you know, in this latter part of my life. It seems that it hadn't gotten any better. But I wish I could get paid for the time I worried, actually. That would be great. But there's obviously, everybody's going to worry. I mean, that's a normal part of being a human being. So where do you draw the line between, you know, what's obsessive and what's too much? I mean, what would be your thoughts on that?
Well, what I have come to discover is that worry is really rooted in control. And what I mean by that is when I was worrying, what I was really trying to do was use my mind, you know, like that's going to do something, but use my mind to actually control the outcome. Like what is mulling over this in my mind, you know, the problems with this and all of this, what is that really doing other than getting me upset? It's really not doing anything good, and it's really rooted in control. It's basically saying that, like when I was worrying, when I worry, it's basically saying, you know what, God, I don't believe you're big enough to handle this, so I need to take it over. And in fact, I found that it's really a very prideful thing for, like, what I realized in me is that that's maybe the ultimate thing in pride, to telling God that he's not big enough to handle it. And the key with that is you know, when tough stuff happens, when the stuff that we tend to worry about or you know, dwell on, when that stuff happens, we tend to think that's the opposite of peace, and so we want to kind of go away from it, and we want things to be better, and so if we worry and try to keep it in control and all of that, we can have this peaceful life. But what I've found is that stuff actually helps us to find more peace, which seems really, really odd, but I found that it absolutely is true, because that tough stuff actually, you know, think about the tough stuff, Rodney, in your life, over your life. The really tough things that have happened to you. My guess is, if you look at some of those things, you're going to see how those ended up being really good things that happened. Mm-hmm. Like the situation with my boss, that was the most horrible thing that's ever happened to me in my entire professional career. But it's also the greatest thing that's ever happened to me, because it launched me on this path I'm on now that I wouldn't trade for anything. And so I don't know if that makes sense or if that answers your question, but that's kind of the things that I have found.
Okay. Well, another thing that you touch on is how the worrying, I think this is what you're saying, it kind of induces stress in our life. And so addressing the worrying can relieve the stress in our life, can it?
Well, yeah, in a way, but I actually think one of the best ways, probably one of the first things you need to do to reduce the stress, reduce the worry, and really bring more peace, is really understand that chaos is our friend. And let me put it to you this way. My son he's 16 years old now, and he was bullied in the 7th and 8th grade, and we actually enrolled him in a martial arts or karate school. And he wasn't excited about it. In fact, the very first time, he doesn't like anything new at all. I mean, from a young age, he didn't like to try new foods. No, I don't. I hate that. Well, when's the last time you had it? Oh, I've never had it, but I know I hate it. And then once he'd try it, like 98% of the time, he'd get this sheepish grin on his face and say, "Oh no, I really do kind of like it." And so that's the way he rolls. Well, I was taking him to his first karate class, and I knew that I couldn't tell him where we were going right away, so I had to kind of trick him to get in the car. And so we're halfway there, he goes, "Where are we going, Dad?" And I told him, he goes, "I'm gonna hate it. I'm not even gonna go in." And I said, "Well, you are gonna go in, and that's okay if you hate it, but we're gonna give it a try." And so we went, and I had kind of explained some things to the instructor beforehand, so we went and met with him one-on-one, and we're sitting around his table, and the instructor's asking him questions, and I was embarrassed. In fact, I was appalled as a parent with how disrespectful my son was to this guy. And he wasn't looking him in the eye, wasn't even answering his questions. But I just let it go because I wanted to see how the instructor handled it. And so he finally said, "Okay, this is inspiring." So Robbie and I got boxing gloves on that he gave us. And we didn't have a clue what we were doing, but we just started sparring with each other. And I could tell my son was kind of liking this. At the end of our time, we went back down and sat at the table. And the instructor said to my son, "Mr. Lang, what do you think?" And he said, "Well, it was better than I thought it was going to be." In other words, I love it, but I can't say I loved it because I knew I was going to hate it. Mm-hmm. And to make a long story short, 3.5 years later, which was just like 2 months ago, he just tested and received his black belt. And I have seen an incredible change in his life and his confidence and all these things in him. But there were numerous times over those 3.5 years that he didn't want to go to his class and he didn't want to go do this, but he persevered and he did it. And I wouldn't let him quit. And so I kind of look at that as I needed to push him into the pain, out of his comfort zone, and because I knew it was going to be better for him. And the way I view it is God, our Heavenly Father, is much the same way with us, that he allows chaos into our lives because he knows it's going to get us out of our comfort zone. He knows that that's going to be for our benefit, and we're going to grow as a result of it. And he loves us too much to leave us. They're kind of like a mama bird with her babies in the nest. Eventually, she kicks them out of the nest because she knows that's the only way they're going to learn to fly. And so I don't know if that makes sense, but it really helps me.
It does. Jim, we're going to take a real quick break, and we're going to come back and zero in on a couple of more things real quick. We're back with Jim Lang right after this. My name's Rodney Mathers, and you're on The Journey of Hope. Shows coming up all through the summer. You want to be sure and tell people about Journey of Hope. Good shows made especially for ex-offenders and their families. Tell people about the Journey of Hope, and you'll want to be sure and stay with us all summer. Jim and I have been having a little discussion about worrying, and I hope that you're getting something out of this. Jim, so you said some things right before we went to the break that I kind of stuck out to me, things like getting out of your comfort zone and that sort of thing. What are the steps, someone who's listening to the show right now, and they want to alleviate some of the worrying from their life? Let's just pick that one. What are the steps that they can take to do that?
Well, really, I think first and foremost is having an understanding about the fact that the chaos is good, and really just coming to a place of saying, you know what, I'm going to embrace the chaos. And so rather than say, man, why is this happening to me, ask a different question, and that being, okay, what's in this for me? Mm-hmm. I know this is awful, this is painful, I don't like it. But what is in this for me? What can I learn from this? How can this make me better? And if you've got a relationship with God, you know, God, what are you doing here? How is this good for me? What are you doing for me? You know, reveal that to me over time. So that's the one thing. I think the second step is to realize that oftentimes we feel like our peace is stolen or such and such made me worry. But the fact of the matter is, that's not true. A good friend of mine once said to me, he said, Jim, if someone spits on you, does that make you mad? And I said, you bet it does. And he goes, no, it doesn't. It just makes you wet. It's your choice to be angry.
Wow.
And I wanted to argue with him, but you know what? He was right. Mm-hmm. It's our choice to worry. It's our choice to give up our peace. So we really can't have it stolen from us. It's really something that is our choice to give up, really out of our desire to control. And so when we can kind of get that, understanding, that will give us a head start on everybody else when it comes to really finding peace and eliminating worry in our life. Then there's a bunch of other things that the Bible tells us that we can do to actually find peace.
Okay.
You know, the Apostle Paul actually says, if we are joyful always, if we choose to be joyful, if we have a gentleness about us, if we choose not to be anxious, he actually has a verse that says, do not be anxious, which is basically saying we have a choice in it, kind of just like what I said earlier. prayer is certainly a part of it as well. And if we focus on the good, kind of like what I said earlier about rather than saying, why is this happening to me? If we focus on the good, there's actually several verses in Scripture that are all back-to-back that are a prescription for peace. And if we can do those things, it says, and then the peace of God, which transcends all understanding, will guard your heart and mind in Christ Jesus. That's where that can come from. And then there's some other really cool things that I discovered that Jesus shared as far as finding peace. And because realistically, in order for us to find true peace, the Holy Spirit's got to be active in our lives. And in order for the Holy Spirit to be really active in our life, the Holy Spirit's called the Helper. Mm-hmm. We need to develop an intimate relationship with God, and then we need to obey Him, and then the Holy Spirit comes. In John 14 through John 16, Jesus repeats that pattern three separate times. And that was one of the revelations that I received in working on this book project that I'm really excited about. It's kind of like an upward spiral. And I go into a great deal of detail in that in the book, Calming the Storm Within.
Mm-hmm. How can we get, I feel like we've just scratched the surface on this, or we're kind of tight on time here. How can we find your books and learn more about you? I know you've got a blog, right?
I do. First of all, with the book, I've also got a bunch of free resources there that your listeners cool. can go check out. And on how to find peace and eliminate worry and all of that. And you just go to calmingthestormwithin.com.
Okay.
And you can read a little bit about me and the book and all that. But down at the bottom, there's several different links that you can click on for free resources that I hope will be a blessing to you. And you can also click on the link to buy the book, which is out on Amazon as well, in digital or in print. And then my blog or my website for my company is 5feet20.com. That's the number 5feet20.com. And why 5feet20? That's because that's how tall I tell people I am. I'm 6'8", but which is actually equivalent.
I was
going to
mention
20.
That. I noticed that you mentioned that you played college basketball, and you're a tall dude.
I am. Actually, it's not so much that I'm tall, it's just the rest of y'all are just real short.
Well, I've been hearing that a long time. Jim, I want to thank you for being here. The books are Leadership, Biblical First Aid for Leaders, and Calming the Storm Within, How to Find Peace. Jim, thanks a lot for being here today.
Rodney, thank you so much.
My name is Rodney Mathers. We're going to take another quick break. We'll be right back after this on The Journey of Hope. Whoa, we're out of time again. I want to thank my special guest, Jim Lang. I want to remind you that if God is for you, who can be against you? We'll see you next time right here on The Journey of Hope.